wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey.
Hellfire, what do people do there? It is my painful duty to deliver to you a message that makes my heart tremble and my lips quiver. My subject is, what do people do in hellfire? Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the only person who knew and could make divine revelation to us so that we might know. Before we hear his answer, I want to remind you, my neighbor, that you and I deserve to go to that awful place because of our wicked sins, and yet, by the grace of God, I'm not going to experience that of which I shall speak to you. And my good news for you is that you do not need to either. I am simply telling you what my Lord said as he revealed hellfire as it is today, and what people do there. You may scoff and threaten and blaspheme, but God is not afraid of your threats. He is still over all his creation and every creature too. The cross of Calvary had its two sides. On one side, there was a repentant thief. On the other, a defiant malefactor. One side was salvation and the other damnation. When John the Baptist heralded the coming of Christ, he cried, "Behold the Lamb of God." Yet of him, he said, "He shall baptize you with fire." What? Immerse people in fire? Yes. The Savior's pierced hands that save some shall plunge others into the eternal burnings. It is death unto death to some, and life unto life to others. And just as each thief decided at Calvary, so you must decide which it shall be unto you. We now put the question to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. What do people do in hellfire? Hear his answer. "And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that I may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from thence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou would send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. In hell, that man had all his senses and a super consciousness. He felt terrible pain as he cried, I'm tormented in this flame. He saw Abraham and Lazarus. He heard as Abraham told him of his hopeless doom. He spoke clearly. He reasoned with the arguments of a lawyer. He recognized Lazarus. He remembered clearly his unrepentant past and that of his ungodly brothers. And he prayed. Yes, he had a full consciousness of himself with his pains and of his abode and his surroundings. Never was he more conscious as when he was the other side of death in hellfire. He prayed, likely for the first time. In my messages, I have been pleading with you to humble yourself and get down on your knees before God and repent of your sins and seek his mercy, but you won't do it. Are you afraid someone might see you? God will see you. And he sees you when you don't, too. Wouldn't you rather for God to see you on your knees before him, crying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner, for Jesus' sake, than to see you remain in your pride? The man in hell prayed to Abraham and not to God. Why? He knew he was separated from God and God would not hear him. Is that why people today pray to Mary? You cannot approach God by either Abraham or by Mary. The man Christ Jesus is the one mediator between God and men. He prayed for mercy, but there was not a word of self-condemnation, no repentance. God has no mercy for the unrepentant. His prayer was in total selfishness. He wanted relief for himself by Lazarus leaving the comforts to enter the torments. What a selfish hog he was. Neighbor, if you are not changed by the transforming power of the gospel of Christ, you will never be changed. Religion may talk about a place they call purgatory, where the fires purify the dead and prepare them for heaven, but in the Bible, God has no purgatory, and no fires will change you. Our Lord showed us that the rich man was a greedy man on earth, and in the fires of hell, he was just as selfish. Only Christ can change a sinner into being a saint. Some religions give the devil a part in the work of atonement for sin, and some give their purgatory a part, but all these are insults to Christ. Neighbor, the devil cannot change you, and purgatory can't either. The Bible says if any man be in Christ, not in purgatory, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The man in hell prayed, but his prayer was too late. The Bible says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Soon it will be too late for you too. In answering our question, what do people do in hellfire? Our Lord first showed us a man in hell, and then he definitely answered the question in three words. He said, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. How solemn. Three words. Weeping, wailing, gnashing. That is what people do in hellfire. Oh, what an awful place to be in. Once I passed by a state mental institution with a lot of the inmates outside. I never heard, even in a zoo, such awful sounds. What must it be in hellfire with its weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth? Some of you may not like my sermon. Do you think I like it? Do you think that the God who loved you and the Christ who died for you delights in such? He says, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Why then do people go to hellfire? It is this. They're so proud, they won't repent toward God. They're so stubborn, they won't surrender to Jesus Christ. And they're so indifferent to the Spirit of God, they won't seek the Lord while he may be found. In hell, no one blames God. They know whose fault it is, like the rich man who knew how he got there. He would not repent. First, in hell they weep, a strange kind of weeping. There's no repentance, but like Esau, theirs is the hopeless cry of those who want relief from their sufferings, but in their way and not God's way. They're just as stubborn in hell as they were on earth. Remember, our Lord wept in agony as he suffered for us that we might be saved. And those who get saved weep in repentance at Jesus' feet. But people today laugh instead of weep. Of them our Lord said, woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. Oh, my neighbor, don't laugh at sin. Don't choke over the gospel. Don't make fun of the repentant sinner. Your turn will come when you shall weep and wail and gnash your teeth. Life and death, sin and Satan, heaven and hell, time and eternity. These are no laughing matters. Get serious, get in earnest, get right with God. It is better to shed tears of repentance now and go to heaven than laugh with this giddy world and then to weep and wail in hopeless pain and hellfire forever. Second, our Lord said that in hell there shall be wailing. Is that hard to believe? Think of those tormenting flames, stinging yet not consuming, burning yet not deadening. See them leaping in pain. Hear them screaming in agony. Oh, the bitterness of their awful wailing. Neighbor, if you could see the lost in hellfire and hear their awful wailings, you couldn't sleep for many a night for hearing that wailing and gnashing of teeth, as Jesus our Lord said. Third, gnashing of teeth. That signifies intense pain, as the hospital sufferer grinds his teeth on the pillow. Oh, the pains and pangs of hellfire. Teeth shall shatter. Teeth shall grind in those torments. The gnashing of teeth also indicates determined defiance. as the rebellious son grinds his teeth in his defiance of his father's chastening. Neighbor, if God's love doesn't melt your heart, God's wrath will not soften you. As you resist God's grace, you shall also grind your teeth in rebellion against God's justice, as the Bible says. And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God who had power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory, and they gnawed their tongues for pain and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and repented not of their deeds. Men biting their own tongues for pain and with gnashing teeth still blaspheming God and refusing to repent. What an awful time. The filthy will remain filthy, and the wicked will remain wicked for all eternity, defying God while they weep and wail and gnash their teeth, unchanged by the flames. Their defiance remains, and God's judgment remains forever. Today, millions are in hellfire, doing these three things, weeping, wailing, and gnashing their teeth. But what good is the existence of people in hellfire? God didn't make you for hell. That sight is man in his lost and perishing state, ruined forever. Now listen, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Man, by hearkening to the devil, fell into sin and became a ruined creature, whereupon God did not leave man in his sad plight, but God went out to rescue perishing man. He spared not his own Son. He gave his all, for he was not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God has done all he can do. God cannot repent for man. You must repent, or else you will perish in hellfire. For Jesus said, I tell you, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Oh, neighbor, don't go on in your sins with the devil to your doom, but in bitter tears of shame and contrition, repent at Jesus' feet and call on his name to save you. Call, Lord Jesus, I'm lost. I cannot change myself, but thou canst. Lord Jesus, I call on thee for salvation. Those who repent and call on the Lord Jesus shall be saved, but all others shall go to hellfire, and there they shall do what Jesus said. They shall weep and wail and gnash their teeth forever. What an awful end. May it never be yours. Neighbor, God has been so good and so kind and long-suffering with you all your life in his effort to lead you to repentance, just like the Bible says. Maybe that makes it hard for you to believe that one day God will cast you into that furnace of fire to weep and wail and gnash your teeth in hopeless despair. Take another look at Calvary's cross. That man on that middle cross is God's beloved Son. The sins he bore were not his own, but the sins of his repentant people. Did God spare him? Did God show him mercy? No anguish of lost men in hell could equal what he suffered on that cross. He cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Thy fierce anger goeth over me. While I suffer thy terrors, I am distracted. If God spared not his beloved Son, why dream that somehow he will spare you? Neighbor, as a man of God, I warn you that if you remain unrepentant concerning your sins, and if you still turn down Jesus Christ, who is the only one who can save you and deliver you from God's wrath, you shall certainly weep and wail and gnash your teeth in hellfire forever. This is as sure and as certain as God lives, and as the Bible is his word, and as God cannot lie. So I plead with you to make sure that your life shall never end in hell. Do this. What? Get alone with God. Get on your knees and in trembling and in tears of shame, confess your sinful, ruined, and hopeless condition, condemning yourself for it all. Then call on the Lord Jesus in words like these. Lord Jesus, I'm lost. I'm headed for hellfire, and I deserve it. I'm helpless and hopeless unless thou wilt save me. Lord Jesus, I do repent, and I come to thee as my Lord and Savior to save and change me to live for God. Lord Jesus, make real to my soul that on that cross thou didst actually take my place and bear my sins and didst make an atonement for my soul. Then Your eyes will open to see Calvary, so you can join other repentant souls and cry, "Surely thou hast borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Thou wast wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. God hath laid on thee, Lord Jesus, the iniquity of us all." And this will produce in your heart a note of thanks in words like these: "Lord Jesus, I thank thee, I love thee. Truly thou art the Son of God who loved me and gave thyself for me. From that hour, Christ and Calvary will stand between you and hellfire, and you will be safe forever in Christ Jesus. When this is your experience, then come and join hands with me to warn every man in tears of compassion to flee from the wrath to come to our Lord Jesus Christ, who alone can save them as he has saved us. Amen." This is another message of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman.